With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so hi everyone. I'm with Richard Krajicek, former Wimbledon champion and number 4 ATP in 1999, and now the Rotterdam ATP 500 tournament director. Nice to meet you, Richard.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
So the tournament was created in 1972. It's the 51st edition. Arthur Ashe, Jimmy Connors, Roger Federer won the tournament 3 times. You actually won it twice, in 95 and 97. What is your best memory of this tournament as a player?
Yeah, I think we had like a small tournament early 70s, but we really start counting from 1974. Tom Walker won that event, and that's why this year is the 50th anniversary for our event. And my earliest memory is 1982. I was a spectator, and I watched Guillermo Vilas play semi-finals against Buster Mottram from England, and it was 6-4, 6-4. And I actually have 2 memories from that match. One is that Buster Mottram was coming in all the time, and Vilas was lefty and had good touch, so he was passing him cross-court, but he hit a lot of these lobs, like running lobs, like this with spin, and he would win the point like that. And by the time he lobbed Buster Mottram for like the 10th time with a winner, the crowds, you heard some laughter, like they were laughing at the opponent of Guillermo Vilas. So it was a bit awkward, actually, to see that the people are laughing at you. But so that was one memory. And the other memory was that same match. I had a can of soft drink. And in the old days, you had to open a can a different way to pull off like a lid in a way. And it was really difficult. So I tried to pull it off and I spilled all the Coke on the man in front of me. So that was also an interesting moment. So 1982, I won't forget that.
And what about you as a player? You have a special memory when you won, maybe, or another year?
Yeah, I think, the first time I won actually a match point, I tore my meniscus. So that was not a nice, I still won that point. So I won the tournament. But the second time I won was a very good memory for me because I came back. I was there as a Wimbledon champion. So it was in February 97. In 96, I won Wimbledon. So yeah, I was the first time I played again in Holland since I won Wimbledon. So it was nice to win in my country as a Wimbledon champion.
Is Rotterdam kind of Roland Garros for you guys? Is it the same prestigious thing to win at home?
Well, for all the other tournaments except the Grand Slam, for me, it was my biggest win. I won, of course, Wimbledon. That's for me the biggest. And then I won 2 1,000 events or 3 even. I don't even know. Like, I won Stuttgart twice and I won Miami. But I also won 2 times in Rotterdam. And for me, the 2 times in Rotterdam, I don't know, more important. But yeah, for me, it's ranked in the top 3 of important tournaments that I won in my career.
Could you party with your friends maybe after because you were at home?
I had to go to the next tournament. The next day, I think I flew to Marseille to play or something. So it was, as a tennis player, I didn't feel sometimes a lot of time to celebrate. No.
How did you actually become the director? And who was the director before you?
The director before me was a man who almost did it for 20 years. Wim Buitendijk was his name. The trophy is named after him. He did an unbelievable job growing the tournament from a small indoor event to the big indoor event it was. So, but he got, unfortunately, he was sick and he passed away before my first tournament. So that was actually sad. So I was asked to take over, and that was in 2004. So I retired in June 2003. And then already my predecessor was really ill. And actually, basically, from that moment, I took over because you have to go to meetings with tournament directors at Wimbledon, at the US Open, and also the World Tour Finals. So already then in 2003, I was doing basically everything and as a tournament director. And then the first tournament was February 2004.
And when you say doing everything as a director, what does it mean? What do you actually do?
Yeah, what you actually do is, well, the first year I had tried to do everything because I thought the director is responsible for everything, so you have to do everything. That was not so smart because I was, and by Tuesday during the event I was so tired already and I was not happy. Because I was felt responsible for everything, but the most important thing is that I create or I say I get the player field. So talk to the agents, sometimes a little bit the players, but mainly with the agents. Try to get good players. I'm responsible for all the meetings with the ATP, other tournament directors, but also make sure the relationship with the ATP is good. In 2007, there was the Brave New World, and they were making new sanctions basically for the tournament, a new level. So I had to lobby and talk to the people at the ATP, and we managed to get the 500 sanction, which upgraded our tournament. So that's important. I'm also the spokesperson of the tournament with the press. I'm talking to you now. And so that's important. Create attention in the media. Also, you know, when things are good, you know, I talk about, you know, if we have a good winner or something, but also sometimes we've lost all our seats by Thursday. And then I have to go to the press also to give a press conference that, okay, we don't have any players left. So in good times and bad times, I'm the face of the tournament, the spokesperson. During the tournament, I run throughout the whole stadium, basically. I talk to the people, the regular crowd, basically, to the main sponsor, title sponsor, ABN AMRO. We have about 35 suites. I visit them during the week. I visit all of them for 15, 20-minute talks. There's a lot of seminars organized by companies that sponsors that are there. So I also come there for 10, 15 minutes to talk to the people. They have questions for me. A lot of times talking about the matches that they're going to see. So during that week, it's really busy. And during the year, I think the main thing is going to the ATP meetings and getting a good player field. And then, of course, we have meetings about how we're going to organize our event next year. How many things are we going to change? What do we keep the same? And then I'm a part of a team and trying to get the best possible player field and get the best possible tournament for everybody who comes to our event.
And today is Wednesday. Do you handle better than Tuesday a couple of years ago?
yeah, it was 20 years ago. This is my 20th anniversary as tournament director. So the first 2 years, So the first 2 years I was, especially the first year, but even the first 2 years I needed like a holiday for like 2 weeks after the event. But then I relaxed more. I understood like, okay, let's work my strengths. What am I good at? Actually, the things I was talking about. Still is busy, but it's different. And we have a great media team. We have our operational manager and everybody working in the back office. It's so strong, so good. They have 50 years experience. And now it works perfect. You know, it's a bit physically maybe tiring, but I actually get energy from the tournament, you know. So it's so much fun. It's such a special week in the year. It's something we worked towards for 51 weeks. And I wouldn't say it's like one big celebration, but it's like, hey, we worked at this. It's great. Let's enjoy it. Let's have a great week. So, I feel great. It's Wednesday, feeling good. And the only important thing to do is, because we're an indoor event, that sometimes during the day, I have to go outside for 10, 15 minutes just to get some sun and some fresh air if possible. Yeah. Or else sometimes if I really stay in all day, that by the end of the day, I'm like, feel like I didn't get enough oxygen almost, but that's the only thing. The rest is good.
You look fit. I'm sure you're doing great. How many ATP 500 are they on tour?
I think at the moment there are 13, if I'm not mistaken. And I think we're the first 500 of the year. In our month, there's a couple of 500s, like Rio is a 500, Dubai is a 500. Acapulco is a 500, but I think that maybe is already a March. I'm not sure. So there's four, but we're not in the same week. So yeah, and then of course you have Barcelona is a 500, Hamburg, end of the year you got like Tokyo, Beijing, so Basel and Vienna, and Washington is also 500, and of course the two cross court tournaments, Queens and Halle. So if you've been counting, I don't know how many that, but those are the 500s.
Are you the one with the biggest budget?
We have a good budget. I don't know. I have the feeling China always, or Dubai and China
right.
have maybe a bigger budget, but we have a good budget. We have incredible, if I say so myself, VIP also, and everything built for the spectators. I mean, we don't only have our center court, which is a great stadium, but we have all these holes attached to it, expositional, so many. We have six practice courts and really good practice. Players love it. And they should, you know, I agree. It's fantastic. All the same courts, exactly the same as center court. So they can practice a lot. We have a great gym and a lot of things for the spectators. We have shops and we all build it only for this week. But all without one tent. It's all under solid roof, basically. And that makes it so special. And with huge VIP with like 32, 35 units. And ABN AMRO, our title sponsor, receives 15,000 guests for the week.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Many seats are there on the central court?
10,500. We sell about 115,000 seats total for the event. And about 50,000 of that are a VIP, basically. Wow. So it's businesses inviting guests. So it's the biggest networking event in Holland.
And how much does the tournament cost?
Well, we have prize money of over 2 million. And ABN AMRO is, of course, a good sponsor, the title sponsor. So they, I think their sponsorship is over 3 million.
Wow, amazing. And yeah, I've read that the winner of the tournament earns 387,000 this year and obviously 500 ATP points, 16K for first round, and 127K for the winners playing double. But the special thing is that this year, it's plus 70% on the total prize money compared to 2022. How do you explain that?
There's two ways to explain. Well, not just one way, but two things happened. Of course, last year and the last 2 years, we didn't have hardly any spectators. And then our prize money was cut in half.
Okay.
Because the players agreed, like, okay,
right.
Tough times. So you have to look at compared to 3 years ago, every year there's a special formula. The prize money at least goes up, I think, 2% or 2.5%, and then there's also some revenue sharing at one point. So it depends how much revenue we get. So, but the 70% is that you should compare to 2020. If you compare 2020, then that percentage, then you can see really how much the prize money went up, because that was our last non-COVID year, normal year, COVID year. Yeah.
Got it. This year, Tsitsipas is the number one seed, then Rublev and the defending champions Felix Auger-Aliassime come third seed. Do you have any bet from the heart for a winner this year? Maybe Botik van de Zandschulp, I don't know.
He won today 7-6 in the third. He was struggling.
I was watching just before.
So set 4-2 down. I was like, oof, not looking good, but he got out of it, so that's great. Yeah, it's tough to say. There's so many good players still. So I mean, Rublev, but he's gonna have a tough match against the Minauer. Tsitsipas struggled a bit, but he won in first round, always difficult. Same with Medvedev. So it's a tough one to say. I mean, for the moment, I would say easy. Of course, you look at Tsitsipas, you look at Felix Auger-Aliassime, he won. Rublev, he won it before, second seed. But I think after tomorrow, after Thursday, they've all played two matches, and then you can gauge a little bit who's playing well. I have to say who's playing well at the moment is Grigor Dimitrov.
And in terms of style, which one do you like the most?
I think Dimitrov is a great player to watch, but I love Stan Wawrinka also, but and Felix also because he attacks a lot. So that's about the same with Tsitsipas. I mean, there's so many guys. Yeah, I love watching them, and all of them bring so much energy to the court, and I think that's the most important thing, no matter what your style is. But my hope that we get one of the top players like Zverev is also coming back now, but Zverev, Felix Auger, or Tsitsipas, Rublev in the final against the Dutch guy. For me, it would be great. We have the top player, and then for the emotional bond, basically, for the crowd, it would be great to have the home guy. So also in the final. And then I don't think I care who wins, but that would be my dream final.
And have you coached also on tour?
I coached a little bit. I coached Raonic a little bit for a couple of months. Milos Raonic, and I've coached Stan Wawrinka 1 year on the grass.
Nice.
Not a successful year on the grass for him. And I coached Tim van Rijthoven also a couple of years ago. And at the moment, my son, he's ranked about 550. He has a coach, but he asked me to travel with him for about 10 weeks a year. So he's 22 years old. He's ranked 550. And that's also fun. So I think that for the moment is... traveling with my coach, with my son a couple of weeks a year.
Do you have any news from Milos Raonic? Is he getting better from his injuries?
I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. No.
Okay. I've heard that in Acapulco, for example, they have budget to attract very famous players. For example, I've heard that a couple of years ago, it was 1 million for a top three player, then 1.5, then we don't know about 1.5, 2 million for the top three. Do you have this kind of budget to attract the stars on tour?
I don't know. No, not really. No, maybe if there's like a chance to get like a Roger Federer, then the budget changes. But in general, we have a one set budget that we don't disclose. And we were with this budget, the players you see now, we were able to get with this budget. And it's been the same budget for the last, I don't know, 7, 8, or 10 years almost. So, so I think somehow we managed to get a good field. I think the most important thing is to have a good tournament. Like good points, 500, but good place in the calendar. And that's why Acapulco can get good players. I mean, I'm sure they have a certain kind of budget. But most important is it's before on hard court, close to Indian Wells. So it makes so much sense for the players to come there because, of course, finance is important. But before you talk finance, the player look, does it fit my schedule? Does it make sense? Is it a good tournament? Do I get enough points? All these things. And if that all makes sense, then you talk the last part about the financial side.
So you have a range to attract top 5, top 10, top 15? Is that how it works?
No, we have a certain budget. So it's like one big budget or like one whole budget.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay, let's see. Let's try to get a lot of as many top 10 as possible. A couple of Dutch guys and also 11 to 20, we think is important. Maybe a few names like Stan Wawrinka, who's not in the top 10, but still will sell tickets. And then with that, we see what how far we get. And we try to get at least... I think three or four top 10 players. This year we have five, even two from the top five. And we had five from 11 to 20. And we unfortunately Kachanov pulled out. And like that, you make your field. But we like to have... Our goal is that the first 3 days of the tournament, every session, we have at least one top player. And I mean, our field this year is so good and the guys keep on winning that we had to put Stan Wawrinka on court one. We had to put Grigor Dimitrov against Hurkacz on court one. I think that shows how strong our field is this year. So, we try to be able that everybody, that when they buy a ticket, and you don't know when the player is playing a match before, you don't know until the day before. But if people buy 2 weeks before a ticket, that they'll know they'll see top tennis. And that's our goal with the player field.
Can you share with us that budget or is that top secret?
No, I told you that we don't disclose it, but it's a good budget and we have a good field. Yeah.
And how much is a ticket to like average to come to see the show?
I think our average ticket is about 40 euros, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
We haven't raised the prices that much. We've raised, of course, but not unbelievable. Yeah.
Have you said earlier the tour is non-stop? It like right after is Marseille, before is Montpellier, and then all the guys and the girls go to the US. What makes Rotterdam special and unique?
I think a couple of things. I think we're an indoor event, we're European. So for the European players who come after Australia, it's nice to be back home a little bit and that you don't have to travel that far before you go to the States where you have to go, to Inuel Ski Biscayne. I think because we're 500 events, so you can make good points. I think great facilities for training, for matches. And I think what's important for us, we have a very strong tournament with Marseille next to us. So it, the players can play more than one tournament. I think if there would not be Marseille and no Montpellier in front of us, it would be a lot difficult because then you're basically on an island. And so also the we're very happy with the two French tournaments around us that that makes the sense for a lot of players to play in Europe. Yeah.
And in terms of the city attraction, do the player discover a little bit? Is there something to do in Rotterdam? I've never been there, so I cannot tell. Huge port,
have,
no?
We have some good restaurants, and the rest. The thing is, it's winter, so even if it would be the most amazing city, it's a good city. A lot of architecture, a lot of modern architecture, because in the Second World War, the city was leveled by the Germans, so everything is a lot of buildings are new, so a lot of very good architecture. And so that's interesting to walk through town to be, and some bridges because we have a river there, some very special looking bridges. So, but the thing is, it's cold outside. So not Quebec cold, but it's cold.
Do you live there the rest of the year?
No, I'm born there. I was born here in Rotterdam, but I live about an hour drive in a small village. Yeah.
The tournament is also involved through the wheelchair tour. Can you explain?
Last two questions because I have to go again, okay?
Yeah. That one and then 2 minutes.
Perfect. Okay, go with the wheelchair.
Yeah. So it's involved through the wheelchair tour. Can you explain us why some tournaments do and other don't be part of the wheelchair circuit?
Yeah, I cannot tell you why they don't, but I can tell you why we do. 15 years ago, ABN AMRO came with the idea, like, we think it's good to add wheelchair from a responsibility feeling, like, okay, we have to include and wheelchair players, disabled sports. We find it important. They say, okay, we agree. And yeah, after like 5 years or even after maybe 5, 6, 7 years, we're like, yeah, this is not just for to include, but it's like it's top sport. I mean, I saw how hard they were training, the wheelchair players. The matches I thought were really good, and it's so physical that we were like, we should see how can we make this one tournament, you know. So we talked a long time about it, and we see it as top sports, and now we changed the name from our tournament because before it was called the ABN AMRO tournament and the ABN AMRO wheelchair tournament, and now we said no, we are one tournament. So it's ABN AMRO Open for the ATP event and the wheelchair event, and we added also women's wheelchair tennis. We have a Dutch girl, Dide de Groot, who won I think the last 13 Grand Slams. She won Olympic gold. She's totally dominating, and I see her at the National Center because they're also the wheelchair players and the ATP and WTA players to practice at the same facility, same center. And I see how hard they work in the gym, on the court. So for us, it makes total sense. And especially this time when everything is inclusive, this totally fits with us. And I'm really happy that we had the tournament 15 years ago because it was the idea of our sponsor. And now I cannot think of our event not being together anymore.
Yeah, I've seen that the total prize money for the wheelchair is 70K. Do you know how much the winner gets? I couldn't find the info.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know how it works. Like in ATP, it's always about 20%. So I guess it's around that, I'm sure.
All right. Okay, so last two questions for your memory. Do you remember what happened during the 1984 final between Connors and Ivan Lendl?
Yeah, it's legendary. It's the only final, only year that there's no winner. I think after the first set was 6-2 for Lendl, I think there was a bomb threat. And yeah, we had to, I wasn't there, but the crowd, the spectators had to leave the stadium, and the final was never played.
In 2001, do you remember what happened with the French player Nicolas Escudé?
Oof.
He qualified and actually won the tournament.
Ah, okay.
And he also won in 2002.
Yeah,
good
I know.
Job.
That. Yeah.
Good job, Nico.
In 2003, he beat me.
Oh,
it was
nice.
my last time playing there. I lost him 7-6 in the third set.
Oosh. Remember?
Yeah,
actually,
yeah, I felt like
the,
that.
In, remember what score in the tiebreak?
No, probably like 7-4. I didn't feel like I had really a chance to win the tiebreak. So he played good.
And last one, in 2018, something quite historical happened after the final. Do you remember?
After the final.
Well,
I mean, Roger Federer became the oldest number one after the quarterfinals, of course. So
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. After, yeah. That's it. So, but it was after the quarterfinals already. He was the, and then of course he won our event against Dimitrov. So. Yeah, it was, for me, when people ask me what's the most important memory for you, I said, well, my first year as tournament director for myself, it was the change from tennis player to tournament director, but in my whole career as tournament director, it's 2018, to be able to witness tennis history, Roger Federer becoming the oldest number one, and how the people reacted to it in Holland, the crowd, I mean, also international press, everything. Yeah, it was... really special. It's the last time he played, and I'm happy it was the last time. It's a great memory for such a great player and a great person that we remember him like this, basically, that he won there, number one. It was just one big celebration.
He was actually 36 years old. Thanks a lot, Richard, for taking time. Wishing you the best for this edition, and maybe I'll meet you next year. Who knows?
For sure. Thank you very much. Okay.
Bye-bye. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.